This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, and the stories that leads the show are as follows. Coinbase in the IRS. Google cracking down on locking screen ads. I'm going to talk about something really non-tech. It's called the dip clip. When you see this, you're going to be like, yes. We're going to talk about Homeland Security and DJI. We're going to talk about SpaceX Heavy. Of course, all the news of the day. I want to welcome you to episode 1244 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, November 30th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And you too can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. Become an insider today, or simply paypal.me/geeknews. You can always pick up Ohana gear at cafepress.com/Ohana store. I want to give a warm welcome to all the new listeners. Thanks for being here. Thanks for checking the show out for the very first time. I've got a great show lined up for you today. And we're doing something new on live. I'll talk about that in a few minutes. So those of you on YouTube may notice a little bit difference. And if you haven't watched the video ever live on YouTube, please consider doing so at live.geeknewscentral.com. And let me know how the video looks today. But for those of you that are brand new to the show, really what it boils down to is we want you to take the time to get over to Geek News Central. Whoops, let's do that. geeknewscentral.com. And when you're over there, you're going to find it real easy to subscribe to the show via Apple Podcasts, on Android, by email, Google Play, Stitcher, on TuneIn, via an old school standard RSS feed, or just click on the more subscribe options if you have no idea what I'm talking about, and we'll get you all hooked up, okay? And of course, a little bit further down the page, there's a place there for you to get connected with the newsletter as well. We want you to do that. Of course, all of you, the longtime subscribers of the show, thanks for being here, of course. And we want to thank you for staying part of the Ohana and continuing to listen to the show and supporting the show. It is greatly, greatly appreciated. Of course, if you have an email, definitely email me, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And I'm on the wrong button here to see which way to go. And of course, if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do that at Geek News. If you want to join our Slack channel, send an email, say you want to be part of your Slack channel, and that way we'll get you connected with the Ohana over there. You can follow me in Google Plus or Facebook just by searching for my name, Todd Cochran. You can watch this show on the Roku via the Tech Podcast channel or via your Apple TV. You can listen on the Amazon Echo by telling that device to play the latest edition of the Geek News Central podcast. You can tell your Google Home device, okay, beep, to play the podcast Geek News Central. And if you have a Microsoft device or right on your desktop and you have TuneIn configured as your default player, you can say, hey, and then the word C-O-R-T-A-N-A, play the Geek News Central. And what it's going to do is you're actually going to listen to a live stream via Cortana. Now, the last three episodes are always in rotation on that device. So definitely check it out, all right? Of course, you can listen on Stitcher, also at blueberry.com. So really, there's really a dozen ways to connect to this show, so there's no excuse. More importantly, partner shows of this podcast include No Better Than Average with Jacob and Jeff, The Gadget Professor with Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site being written by the GNC team, The New Media Show at newmediashow.com, co-hosted myself and Rob Greenlee, and of course, the Podcast Legends Show. As we head into the new year, I am contemplating bringing on a couple more podcasters to the network. If you have an idea, let me know. We'll talk about it. So just let me know if you have some consideration to join the family here. It'd be great. But of course, all of this would not be possible without our good friends. Our good friends, of course, over at GoDaddy.com. And we want to thank them for their ongoing support. Yeah, I'm looking at the numbers as we wrapped up the month. And of course, for many of you that listen to the show, it'll be December 1st.
But I can't help with that yet.
Okay. And we will be on a new month, but it looks like November was awesome. So I want to thank all of you for, we'll know in next week sometime, but don't forget about me as we move into December. The GoDaddy specials continue with 30% off on new product purchases, 99cent.com. So whether it be a dollar a month economy hosting with a free domain or a dollar a month managed WordPress hosting for the first, again, both those are a dollar a month for the first year, include a free domain. I really like the economy hosting package the best of those two. And of course, for business owners or people that are a non-website technically inclined, you definitely want to check out that 1 month free trial of GoDaddy Website Builder, your choice of personal, business, or business plus plans. And of course, we want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central and taking care and making sure that we keep the lights on. And of course, I'm going to tell you, after the November, you know, putting in the TriCaster and writing those big checks and everything else that's been going on, and I just got the bill for the Podcast Awards trophies, and that one was oop. But yeah, Anita, hoping for a banner November. But everyone, thanks for your ongoing support here of the sponsor, of course, GoDaddy. And for GoDaddy being a continued sponsor here at Geek News Central. So let me just run into my stack here a little bit and give you guys an update. And I got my refrigerator unfroze. My wife overpacked the freezer, and the water, you know, where the water dispenser is on the refrigerator, it was froze up. So I stood there with 20 minutes with a hairdryer getting that undone. So I've got, you know, I didn't have to go to the tap water here is horrible. And I'm used to drinking filtered water. I don't like drinking bottled water because it's just not, it's not cool. So we try to run everything through the filter when we can. But so I'm set for the show here. But had a big workout this afternoon. I'm a little off this week. I had to miss 2 days. And stepped on the scale this morning. Is, oh, not so bad. So I'm maintaining, but I'm not going minus, and that's the goal. But on Tuesday. Was it Tuesday? Let me look at the calendar here. Yes, it was Tuesday. The phone rang, or my cell phone rang, and it was Oceanic or Spectrum, and they said, "Todd, are you you still want 1 gig internet?" And I'm like, "Well, heck yes, I do." And he says, "Well, you're the first customer we've called. You're at the top of our list. Can you be home 7:30 to 9:30 tomorrow morning?" I'm like, "You betcha." So the cable guy that got here, he wasn't the right guy. And he thought he was installing something else. I said, "No, that's not what you're here for." And then, so he made a few phone calls and said, "Yep, the field rep will be here. This is a special install." He says, you're first up. So the guy got here about 8 a.m. and started working. And everything, he said, "Oh, that looks good. Looks good. This looks good. Oh, that could be an issue. Out to the road he went, and about an hour later, he came back to the house. He said, "Okay, you're ready to rock." And brought in, this is the thing that's surprising me now. With Spectrum, you don't have to pay for the modem. So I had spent $190 on a DOCSIS 3.1 modem that now I'm going to have probably send back. But I'm kind of holding out. There's a couple reasons why. So he got his stuff all set up, and his computer that he was using was pretty old. And he says, "Can you do some speed test on your machines?" But preface that, they brought a cable modem and a router. Now, the installation fee for this is $199. I told him, "I don't need the router. You can take that back with you." He says, "Well, we have to leave it here. It's part of the install package." And I'm like, this is a inferior router from what I have. So long story short, we tested through his router and the highest speed we could get, basically early in the morning, not a lot of people on the internet, 560 down, 33 megs up. Now this is supposed to be 1 gig. And he had told me, as he was installing this, that the highest speed that Spectrum has been able to get in Hawaii, like right at the switch, I mean, right at the head end, is 940 is the top end download. And of course, you guys all know I'm not so worried about down. I want the up. So we got to talking, and he's, you know, he got his meter over there and he says, you got all these channels down, but you're sharing these upload channels or these up channels. You say, oh, yeah. And I'm like, how many people in the neighborhood share? Because I've got 35 megs. Now, I used to have 320. And he didn't tell me how many in the neighborhood were sharing that upload pipe. So what it boils down to here is that they're giving you the dedicated channels for the download, but not dedicated channels for the upload. That's shared. And I never knew that. That was news to me. I was like, ah, therein lies the, you know, and of course, I'm usually by the time I'm getting ready to upload the show here at night, there's probably not a lot of people in the neighborhood doing too much uploading, maybe some kids gaming and stuff. And I said, okay, so I took up all these channels for the download. And, you know, I'm bonded on 4 channels. I said, so how many more people are going to be able to get 1 gig in this neighborhood? He says, well, during the rollout, he says, you're lucky because probably only one of your neighbors that asked for 1 gig will be able to get it. And there'll only be 2 of you at 1 gig in this neighborhood until we kind of figure this thing out. But no matter what, the speed was still only top end 560. Now, here's the crazy part. I could do the speed test to San Francisco and I would get 560 something. And then I would do the speed test to Mililani, where the testing machine is for Spectrum, and I could only get 480. So that, to me, it was pretty obvious to me that there was a lack of the ability of their network to take me all the way. And he said, my signals look beautiful. I'm right, like, in the sweet spot. And they spent some time making sure that everything was, you know, up frequency, down frequency, dB loss, all that stuff. And it's as perfect as it can be. Now, this was this guy's first install. So I was expecting a little bit more on the download speed, you know, because I went 350 to 560. And don't, you know, I'm not looking a gift horse in the mouth, because here's the lucky part. The bill only went up like $4. And it's because of the change of the plans and everything else. So this incremental upgrade that I got did not cost me hardly anything. So, you know, I'm not going to squawk too loud because I know they're trying to figure this out. But one thing I was told is because I was early, they're going to be watching these early customer circuits. So that's a good thing, because here I am now tonight. I am streaming on YouTube at 720p, but 60 frames. So that's new. 720p at 60 frames. We used to do 720p at 30. Facebook, I really don't get much choice. Facebook kind of does its thing, kind of like a pre-select. So I'm going to be very curious to go back and look how the stream is. Now, what I'm going to be doing is incrementally adding more to the circuit. So I've got another box here that's going to live stream, and that live stream box is pushing on the Hawaiian Telcom connection I have in the studio, which is a 30 down, 5 up. And I'm pushing 1.6 on that at 720. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move that over onto the other connection. We're just going to kind of load this thing up slowly And again, because I'm sharing with the neighborhood, so at 720p with 60 frames, I'm pushing about 2.7 megs a second. With Facebook, I'm pushing about 1.5. So I'm using about 5 megs up. Now, if I add this other box, it'd take me to 6.5. So essentially, I'm still under the 320 that I had before. I got 335. I'm, you know, that's the maximum upload shared on the upload. So I don't want to kill the neighbor's connection. So we're going to have to watch what we can load on this. Now, ultimately, what I'd like to do is have the three streams plus Skype, one caller on, or at least one caller on Skype on the same connection. Now, I can always drop the live stream portion and just bring the Skype caller in. So this would be the kind of the test we're going to have over the next couple of weeks. We're going to see how this thing, what it can do. Now, doing the show here in the morning, I actually have an advantage because on Saturdays, we start the show at 6 or 7 o'clock in the morning and I'm done by 8:30. So most people in the neighborhood on a Saturday are still sleeping. So there isn't going to be an impact to the upload speed. Actually, I'd be more confident in the morning show to get more out of the connection than the evening show when, you know, kids are home and playing, you know, League of Legends or whatever they're playing and they're using a lot of this. And I was just testing tonight to kind of see, you know, where that bandwidth was upload. And about the best I could get this evening was about 18 up. So because other people are on and, you know, incrementally the connection's being used. So this is my one gig story here. And I'm pretty, you know, we'll see what happens. But for those of you listening, you could care less. But for me, this is a big incremental jump. And as I was telling the guy that came here, because he's looking at all the studio, I said, yeah, this is on for, you know, an hour, 10 minutes in the evenings, and then an hour and a half on a Saturday morning. I said, the rest of the time, I'm just a, you know, I'm a regular user and pushing stuff to YouTube from time to time. But so anyway, it was an interesting. You know, they come here and they always get fascinated because they're like, walk in the studio and they look and they're like, what have you, of course, nothing's turned on except for one computer. But, you know, they see, you know, 4 monitors, you know, on the side there and you know, it looks like, you know, mission control. But today, you know, it's just, you know, so, you know, I'm doing some other stuff too. For those of you that are live, you know, I've got the, I've got the screen up. I've got, the, you know, I can look at what's going on in chat on Facebook and I can actually, you know, have the audio recording software up and running so that you can see it. So the network wise here in the studio is just about perfect. I'm still got a little tweaking to do on streaming audio levels, but other than that, I think I'm pretty close to having stuff dialed in. So I'm pretty jazzed about all that. But anyway, let's get into the content. I got a lot of stuff to get into tonight to talk about. And let me take a shot of H2O here. Probably going to run out before the end of the show. That glass is gone. I know I have my big cup here tonight. So for those of you that have been continually donating as an insider, I do want to just thank you for continuing to support and the value for value plan here and, you know, putting out great content and you coming back with donations. I definitely want to encourage those of you that are not insiders yet to consider doing so at geeknesscentral.com/insider. Come on board, you know, at the $10, $15, $20, or $25 level a month. And really, we'll be able to do a lot of cool things. One thing you'll notice is on geeknesscentral.com, near the end of the month, I budget a certain amount for the writers for the website. And typically, they will run out of budget near the end of the month. So the last 2 or 3 days of the month, not a lot of fresh content goes up on Geek News Central. And until the show revenue or donations increase, I have to stay at that budget level. And otherwise, things don't work. You know, I have to sacrifice something. So, you know, every incremental increase in the number of donations we have to the show really helps on that bottom line budgeting and the blogging and everything else that goes to support the machine here. So definitely, I want to encourage those of you that aren't insiders to become insiders. Again, at geeknewscenter.com/insider. Let's talk about Coinbase. Cryptocurrency is, you know, cryptocurrency, microcurrency, you know, whatever you want to call it, is big. And, you know, I've played around a little bit with it. I have a Coinbase account. It just seems to be a pretty popular site to do, you know, Bitcoin transaction and anything else that's out there. But today, the Coinbase.com is, they lost a legal challenge, and they're going to be forced to share financial information of 14,355 users with the Internal Revenue Service following a California federal court ruling. The move follows a year-long battle between the cryptocurrency company and the IRS, which believes a high number of customers are failing to report holdings on their taxes. Coinbase has some 6 million users, but fewer than 1,000 have officially declared cryptocurrency activity. Now, this is something you have to claim as part of the IRS. If you have a Coinbase account and you have, you know, if you've made an investment in Bitcoin, and let's say you invested early in the year and you've seen this increase in value, and you have withdrawn money and had, you know, basically a return on that investment, that's taxable. Uncle Sam, Uncle Sugar wants his piece. You know, this isn't just, you can't just, this isn't free investment money, okay? So the data sharing with the IRS affects users who have bought, sold, sent, or received more than $20,000 through their accounts in a single year between 2013 and 2015. And the company will have to turn over the user's name, date of birth, address, taxpayer ID, plus records of all account activity. Coinbase doesn't make you put in your social security number. Now, this ruling is narrower than the original request made by the IRS, which wanted to see records on all Coinbase users over the same period. And folks are none too happy with the results. CoinCenter's Peter Valkenburg said that without better justification from the IRS about why customers' accounts are suspicious, a similar sweeping request could be made for customer data from any financial institution. Well, hate to say it, but financial institutions all report to the IRS. Okay, this is, you know, you do investments, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we are all accountable to Uncle Sam. You know, if you either pay pre-tax, post-tax, depending on the investment, you have interest earned or dividends earned, you know, all that stuff comes back, and Uncle Sugar wants his percentage of that. And if you don't pay that percentage, if you're doing trades and making money, and you're, let's say you're up $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000, $10,000, $20,000, $25,000 in investments, capital gains, write the check. You got to pay tax on that. Okay. So, have you been playing? I'd have nothing like that. I think like I've done $250 or something like that on Coinbase, mostly for payments, you know, and I keep a very tiny, tiny balance in there, enough to cover transaction fees. That's it. So anyway, just heads up. You got a Coinbase account. You've been playing in this. Uncle Sugar wants his money. Google's cracking down on Play Store apps that include lock screen ads. We've all been there at one point. You download an app from the Play Store, all appears well, then it happens. Intrusive advertisers start popping up on your lock screen. This has been an issue for Android for years, but Google's finally going to take the right steps to stop this, and they're basically have put down the hammer. It says, unless the exclusive purpose of the app is that of a lock screen, apps may not introduce ads or features that monetize the lock display of a device. So some of the biggest offenders include ES File Explorer, Hotspot Shield, VPN, and it's unclear whether Google will do to apps that are currently violating this, but the hammer's coming. Apps like S'more and SlideJoy that are created around the idea of serving ads to your lock screen aren't affected by this, but those that try to sneak ads in there without you being aware of it are getting the boot they deserve. Okay, so heads up. Okay, told you about the dip clip. This is the stupidest thing ever. And the only way to describe it is, for those of you that are watching, is to show this to you. How many of you have been through fast food? And let's say you order some chicken nuggets. Or let's just say you go through some place and they give you the ketchup, right? Well, the dip clip is the answer to all our ketchup covered problems. This is fantastic. You put this, hang this on your vent. And of course, you're blowing cold air over it. So if you want the sauce cold, and you can dip your nugget sauce or your ketchup right there on this dip clip. This, whoever invented this, such a simple idea, brilliant. It's raised more than $38,000 on Kickstarter. It's going to cost you, get two clips for $15. But how many times have you tried to juggle the, your chicken nugget dip sauce and drive, right? Brilliant, 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 brilliant. I haven't been to the Kickstarter yet. I hope it's still got room for people to sign up, but that I want. Oh, Nick is saying a good CPA can treat long-term capital gains similar to vested shares of stocks. That's true. You have a good CPA. But if you're taking that money out, if you put money in and you've earned a whole bunch of money and you've cashed it out in cash and you have the cash and you have that money in green, Uncle Sam's going to want his piece. But yes, you should consult the CPA before, because when the IRS comes calling, they are going to get theirs. They really, really are. So thanks for the comment, Nick. Anyone else that's watching, make sure say hi tonight in chat, either on live.geetancenter.com or over on Facebook, either way. Homeland Security claims DJI drones are spying for China. It released a memo detailing what it believes to be DJI's main targets. A memo from Los Angeles of the Office of Immigration and Customs has been making the rounds, and it states some pretty bold claims about drone maker DJI. The memo, which is apparently issued in August, says that the officials assess with moderate confidence that the Chinese-based DJI science and technology is providing U.S. critical infrastructure and law enforcement data to the Chinese government. The LA ICE office also says that the information is based on open source reporting and a reliable source within the unmanned aerial systems industry with first and second hand access. We know that earlier this year, the U.S. Army basically said no more utilization of DJI drones. Australian Defense Force also did so temporarily. We know that shortly thereafter, DJI released the local data mode. So I don't know if this is if they're slow to the uptake on this, and this is just getting out, but this is the first official piece of documentation that's been out detailing what's going on here. So, makes sense. Drone calling home to mama, to mother China. And we often forget that Chinese is it's a communist state, and you know, every company that operates in China does so at the behest and with the permission of the government. And you don't do business in China without getting the homeland Chinese government to sign off on your business. So this is a little bit of scary stuff here for DJI, and it's very damaging for them. SpaceX Falcon Heavy launch has been pushed to next year. They had hoped to do an inaugural launch at the end of this year, but they're just not going to make it. In an email to Aviation Week, SpaceX President Gwynne Shotwell said, "We wanted to fly heavy this year. We should be able to static fire this year and fly a couple of weeks after that. The static fire will be the first time that all the heavy 27 Merlin engines will be fired at once. And if all goes well, Falcon Heavy should be ready for launch within the first few weeks of 2018. There have been multiple launch delays with Heavy, which Elon Musk has attributed to the development of such a large and powerful rocket." Of course, there's a lot of fluid dynamics going on there. And Falcon Heavy requires a simultaneous ignition of 27 engines. And all that going on here, there's a lot that can go wrong, and stuff can go boom in a big way. But he's been very clear where everyone's expectation should be going into Falcon Heavy's first launch. He says there's a real good chance that it doesn't make it to orbit. So he says, "I hope it gets far enough away from the launch pad that it does not cause pad damage. I would consider that a win." So they're pushing the envelope here. Oh, so we're excited to see what's going to happen. Also, get glammed up, The Last Jedi, with the new Star Wars cosmetic kit, ladies. Dark side or light side, first order of the resistance, the eyes have it, with a new line of Star Wars makeup from Cargo Cosmetics. So these are going to be available in Kohl's and a variety of other stores online as well. So ladies, if you want to get that Jedi look, Cargo Cosmetics allows you to rule the galaxy, all right? Space station streaked over the cathedral in just a stunning picture. The Washington National Cathedral, the photographer was lined up just right and took a time-delayed shot as the International Space Station went overhead. So I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. Also, interesting article, his story about Columbia, the first shuttle in space. Of course, we lost Columbia and the crew over Texas in 2003-04 time frame. And so anyway, there's a good story here about Columbia and, you know, a lot of history and the memorial and everything that's available. So Spacecom's got a nice tribute to them. I have the link up in the show notes for you to check that out. Switching gears here, parents, please, you need to take the credit away from the kids that are playing these games that require microtransaction. A teenager, a 19-year-old, claims to have spent over $13,000 on microtransactions to date and is urging companies like EA to reconsider their approach to microtransaction in games. This young man claims in order to support his gambling habit, he's calling it a gambling habit, he had to take on two jobs and nearly dropped out of high school as a result. He has also shared the receipt and bank statements of his microtransactions as proof where he spent over $13,000 on games like Counter-Strike, Global Offensive, Smite, and The Hobbit, Kingdoms of Middle-Earth. So he doesn't appear to have he doesn't blame the company. He just basically says that he has a problem, stems from a deeper issue. He says he is addicted to gambling, and he feels that this is the same mechanism. He stated specifically that EA Star Wars Battlefront 2, where he notes that because of how the beloved Star Wars universe is, kids would be playing it, and from there they could learn to love the rush of getting good items from loot boxes, which could in turn it into a habit of micropayments. So they're trying to put, there's also legislative potential here, where Chris Lee of Hawaii is stressing that there needs to be some kind of measure in place to protect kids who are underage from such situations. Now, this kid's 19. He's technically an adult. So it wouldn't be affected, but watch those credit card bills for those microtransactions, okay? The folks over at Android Central have a review of a smart scale called Eufy, E-U-F-Y, and it's a body sense smart scale. And I kind of like this, but, you know, here's the deal. If the scale doesn't talk to my iPhone in the fitness app, I don't want I really don't want a device that is going to require another app. Having a good scale is important. You know, when you're in using the same scale is important. You know, it's been as part of my weight loss program, I step on the scale the same time every morning and look down and hold my breath. So the this one here records it to your phone, to an app. But I really want device. I don't want to have to have extra apps to communicate, because that's what's happening now. So much of this stuff we're buying, Internet of Things, all require their own app. They have limited functionality, where I wish it could just be rolled up into an Internet of Everything things. So anyway, they do a good review. They have a good review of this. Say this is a great scale. So if you're looking for a scale that's going to, you know, report to your phone, it's $50. So you can't, you know, it's for a scale price, for a good digital scale, it's not bad. And so when you're standing on it naked every morning, it's calling home to your phone, you'll get an update on tracking where you're at, where your mass storage is, right? Hey, many of us are having challenges with our, you know, here's what happened to me. And my wife too. My wife is a prolific photo taker with her phone. And I was looking through our master, because, you know, I told you about what happened with my Synology machine and the replacement coming. And so I was looking through backups and, you know, looking everything over. And one thing I kind of struck me was about the time that the phone camera started getting better, all the images that we used to shoot on the DSLR or the point and shoot, that went down. So how many of you are every year or every so, I know we're all, most of us are storing our pictures in the cloud, right? I've got thousands of pictures stored in the cloud, but I haven't spent a lot of time. Sometimes I've gone a couple of years before I've offloaded the pictures from the phone into my pictures folder, my master's pictures folder. And that's literally thousands of pictures on the phone. So if you're not offloading to your hard drive, it's, you know, it's in the cloud, it's fine, it's there. But if you're not actually hooking your phone up and offloading these, please do that before the end of the year. It really kind of triggered me to do so. So today, Kirk found an article. And again, big thanks to Kirk for the show production. He's really nailing it. You know, one thing you can do in managing your photos is review them immediately. You know, once a week, go through and get rid of the extras and the junk. And I often take pictures of stuff and I send a text to my wife or whatever. I'm at the grocery store and it, who cares? You don't need that. You know, you don't need that 5 years from now. So clean that stuff out, you know, and that stuff you don't need on a periodic basis. And then there's a number of apps. You know, there's ones that you don't have to have duplicates. You can organize stuff in albums. There's a lot of different ways to organize everything. And of course, make sure you're backing up to the iCloud Drive and or to, you know, to Google, and if you're on Android. But the main thing here is to offload that stuff onto your desktop from time to time. And it's important. There's a lot of apps out there. You can manage your iPhone photos from your Mac or your PC. And that works too. And you can download the stuff. So don't forget to move that stuff off onto the hard drive at some point and put it into your whole ecosystem of alternative backups besides the iCloud. Because most of us are just shooting photos with our mobile devices now. One thing that I've been doing too, over the years, and it's all part of this strategy of buying drives, is I always go and look and determine which drives have high reviews for longevity. And, you know, there's always the potential of buying a server class drive where server class drives are engineered for 24/7 workloads. And in theory, they're supposed to last longer under heavy usage, but you should never buy a server hard drive if you're running a home base or in office servers, you know, because they're not getting hammered that hard. You know, enterprise drives carry a 1.61% failure rate on over 300,000 days. Consumer drives feature a 1.6% failure rate over 420,000 days. Now, why is the enterprise drives failing sooner? They're designed to be sit there and be hammered, and they run, and they very often don't ever spin down. So, so some of the most reliable drives, and I'll be honest, I don't buy anything now but Western Digital Red. That is my, doesn't matter the size. Doesn't matter if it's 4 gigs or 4 terabytes, 6, 8, 10, I buy Red, WD Red. That is my drive of choice. Why? No failures. No failures on Reds. I've had failures on Western Digital Blacks. Those are enterprise drives. Another drive that's being recommended are some Toshiba drives and some specific models and some HGST drives as well. And even Seagate Iron Wolf. I don't have any experience with Seagate Iron Wolf drives, but I'm not a fan of WD Black. Some people swear by them. Again, WD Black is geared towards high performance, but it's better suited applications like video editing and gaming, not storage, okay? It's okay to have one in your machine because it's, again, the high spin rate, high access rate. Of course, it's better to have an SSD, but always for a storage environment, I think the Reds are the best. So, and it's kind of amazing. This article follows the advice that, or it follows the methodology I've been using for years. So it's a good one. It's a good article, makeuseof.com. Again, I'm big fan of Western Digital Red drives. Many of you are listening to this show or watching this show outside the United States. You have trouble oftentimes in watching YouTube from other countries. But there's a Chrome extension out there that unblocks region block videos. Dun, dun, dun. So, the free extension, according to the Next Web, makes watching region-locked content on the video hosting service as simple as copying and pasting a YouTube video URL. Instead of being greeted with a message telling you your video is unavailable in your country, you'll see the app uses an explicative to explain itself, but this FU YouTube extension basically attempts to unblock the video. And I don't know if they're using a VPN or what they're doing, but you can get access to, and it goes the other way too. You want to watch some K-pop videos in Korea that are not available in the United States, it goes both ways. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes for you to check that out. There's every year there's a new scam, and I want all of you to make sure that, you know, it's the holiday period coming up here with Christmas coming up, and you're going to be going to grandma's house, or you're going to have those members of your family that are less technically inclined. So there's a new scam. It basically, it's a blue screen of death scam. And it basically puts up a fake blue screen of death on your desktop. And then it gives a number for you to contact. And they want you to pay $25 for some security software that you don't need. And in this case, the scammers are attempting to sell a supposed Microsoft product called Windows Defender Essentials. And of course, the scam combines the names of two real anti-malware applications from Microsoft, Windows Defender and Security Essentials. And according to Malwarebytes researcher, the Troubleshop app is distributed through a cracked software installer. And I don't know what else it does, but, you know, don't fall for this. Make sure that you tell those, you know, folks in your family that aren't so technically inclined, warn them about this stuff, okay? Hey, I want to show you guys something, and this is related. I got to turn around and grab it. I did a review of the Azuli Byte 3, and it's a mini computer, and it has a quad-core Intel Apollo Lake N3450 chip. It has 4 gigs of RAM, 32 gigs of storage, has an M.2 SATA slot, 4K at 60 frames resolution. And basically, this is a little media server. So what I did was, and it's a little mini desktop. It runs Windows 10 Pro, and it cost $199. They sent it over to me for a review. And I just happened to have, I had it sitting in my drawer for a long time, and I pulled out I got it last year during Black Friday, real cheap, a 240 gig solid state drive. So I put a 240 gig solid state drive in it to, you know, bump up the storage on this. And this little device is an amazing little media center. Got it connected to the network, got it connected to the NAS. So I can basically pull videos and play them on my TV with this. And, you know, there's a lot of ways to do a media center with your computer. You know, you can, you maybe even use your Xbox. You know, there's Apple TV. But I wanted really the ability to have my own media center. And this is really the case. And, you know, the holy grail of building a media system, it gives you full control over the quality and the way the media is served. It also allows you to future-proof your setup. Again, a good media center replaces your set-top box, cable box, DVD. So this thing does Netflix. It does everything. I can install Amazon products on, or the Prime, and get the videos. So really, it can scrunch down all the... you know, all the peripherals you have hooked to your TV. So they've got some suggestions here on some devices that you can go out and buy and build. But I'm going to tell you, this comes with Windows, the Azuli comes with Windows 10 Pro. And I'm really big on it. It works really, really, really well. So definitely consider that if you're thinking about putting a media server in your home. Now, one thing I want you to do is, if you pick up one of these, on my advice, I'm trying to work with this company to see what, because again, I wouldn't tell you that this wasn't a good deal unless it was, okay? I'm standing behind this product. This is the second Azuli product I've used. So if you pick one of these up and you use it, send me your feedback on it, okay? What you liked, what you didn't like. You can, they've got a version with a little higher RAM. I think it's 8 gigs of RAM for another $100. But again, I've just got the 4 gig of RAM version. It works fine. It does 60 frame video. It 4K, it works fine. So, let me know what you think. And you don't go out and spend $1,000 to build a media center. You don't need to do that. And, but they've got, in this article, they've got some suggested gear. The reason I like it is just small. It's, you know, like a little bigger than, you know, iPhone 7 Plus and then, you know, like, well, the dimensions are in the article on Geekness Central. So definitely check it out. But the folks here at MakeUseOf.com have it, obviously are suggesting another way to do it. But this Azuli thing is absolutely perfect. Those of you who live in New York City or in Brooklyn, more appropriately, Apple's dropping a giant glass triangle on you. Apple's 11th store in New York City is opening on December 2nd, so you won't have so far to go. And I guess it's got all kinds of cool design features. When you go in, it should be really quiet. You shouldn't hear any outside noise. It should be a good shopping experience. Philips has introduced the first Roku TV. It's now available for $349. It runs Roku OS 8 and offers streaming and OTA capability. So, you know, if you're looking to, if you've already cut the cord and you're a big Roku fan, you know, the only thing that that really makes me think about this, and I haven't looked at one of these real close, is can I send some additional signals to it? You know, does it have extra HDMI ports where I can hook up a Fire TV? Because, yeah, Roku's got a lot, but it doesn't have everything. But anyway, the TV offers more than 500,000 movies and televisions. And of course, that's across 5,000 streaming channels too. So who's going to load 5,000 streaming channels on the Roku? They're not. In the science department, a particle accelerator peers inside an ancient mummy. Science and Egyptology are having a moment right now. First, there was a solar eclipse that dated the reign of the Ramesses the Great, and now researchers have used a particle accelerator to uncover the mysteries of an Egyptian mummy. The mummy is that of a little girl who lived 1,900 years ago in Egypt and is one of around only 100 portrait mummies. These are mummies that have their portraits painted on the, I guess they call that the sarcophagus. No, that's the outside, right? Well, and so to find out more about the mummy girl, how her body was prepared for mummification and what items she may have been buried with, the artifact was transported to the Argonne National Lab for an all-day X-ray scattering experiment, the first of its kind on a human mummy. And it's basically like a 3D puzzle. So this is something new, using a particle accelerator to scan a mummy. Over at Google, this is another person, you know, boy, oh boy, Matt Lauer. Oh, how they're falling, right? They're dropping like dominoes. Who's next? If we had a pool, there should be like a pool in Vegas where we could all bet on who the next person is going to go down. But Essential CEO Andy Rubin has gone on leave for personal reasons. Andy Rubin is the founder of Google's Android and current CEO of Essential, is taking a month-long leave from Essential for personal reasons. The report, a report from the information claims that Google's HR division conducted an investigation into Rubin after a complaint that found he maintained an inappropriate relationship with a subordinate while at the internet giant. Google, I guess it's not sexual harassment, but he's not supposed to be dating from the office pool. Google policy forbids a romantic relationship between supervisors and subordinates, and Google's investigation apparently concluded that Rubin's behavior was improper and showed bad judgment. Interesting. So he hasn't been fired. He's only going to be out for a month. But someone got smacked. I guess he asked for the leave of absence to deal with personal matters. So I wonder if, I don't know if he was previously or is married or what, but man, is he the next one? There's an article over on The Verge. Automation threatens 800 million jobs, but technology could save us, says the report. I really don't think that 800 million jobs could be lost worldwide to automation. That's a lot, but that's what they're saying. The study compiled by McKinsey Global Institute says that advances in artificial intelligence and robotics will have a drastic effect on everyday working lives, comparable to the shift away from agricultural societies during the Industrial Revolution. Well, and people will just shift. Their jobs are going to shift. But it goes to prove, if you have someone entering the workforce right now, they need an education, because people are going to get left behind. They're already getting left behind. So we have to really figure out how to, you know, increase the tech and education levels, where we're turning out more folks that have these skills. Are going to, you know, take them into 2030, 2040. You know, and for me, it doesn't matter. You know, I'm 53. I plan on being retired at 2030. Okay. At least that's the goal. I'll probably still be doing the podcast, but you know, come on. Who knows? I might have to work till I die living here in Hawaii. FCC Chairman Ajit Pai condemns death threat allegedly sent to a congressman over net neutrality. People are not happy. Earlier this week, prosecutors issued a criminal complaint against a Syracuse man, Patrick D'Angelo. He was arrested yesterday. The complaint alleges that Angelo left a voicemail last month threatening Representative Don Katko, Republican New York, in which he said, "If you don't support neutrality, I will find you and your family and I will kill you. Do you understand? I will literally find all of you and your progeny and just wipe you from the face of the earth." You know, that's probably not an advisable phone call to make to a U.S. representative. That's probably not an advisable phone call to make to anyone. You know, you can speak out about net neutrality, but, you know, calling your congressman and telling him that you're going to kill him if he doesn't, it's buying you a trip to jail. I want to show you guys something. Those of you that are watching, and I'll describe it for those of you that are listening. And, hey, Peter, good morning. Nick, thanks for being with me. He said, Nick, Apple TV with iTunes library curated, hosted my Synology, no media center needed. Oh, that's cool too. But I have other media that, yeah, anyway, long story short. Oh, did it load? Oh, no. What's going on here? Oh, this is, okay, so I loaded an article and it's from PC Mag. And on the front of it says, to unlock our official list of the 10 best laptops, enter your email below. And they want me to give them their email to get to an article. No way, no way. Now, actually, the article that was actually linked to, that Kirk had originally linked to, was an article on Amazon 5G home internet launching in 2018. So the PC Mag folks tried to get me to sign up for their newsletter, give them my email account versus showing me the original article. It's a little bit of dirty pool on PC Mag's part. But the company on Wednesday Verizon announced, that it will be launched the super fast home internet service in 3 to 5 markets next year, starting with Sacramento, California. These services will use radio signals rather than copper or fiber cables to provide customers with unprecedented wireless speeds for internet access. Well, okay, but you still are capped. You know, that's the problem. You know, it's still capped. Is this going to be unlimited bandwidth? No. Okay. We're going to have to keep an eye on this. We really, really are, to see what happens as time goes on. I am not going to make it through everything today. Let me see what else. Oh, I lost an article. What happened? Google Maps has been updated for iPhone 10. Those of you that forked out the money to get one. Also, if you are trying to hide from your employer, if you have one of those satellite tracking devices that's in your truck or in your car, or if your phone calls home to mama to let them know where you're at, well, an electrician down in Perth was using his snack bags that had basically aluminum foil in them to basically make his PDA not connect with GPS. The problem is that he forgot that all the job sites he would go to, he had to like key card in. And when you key card into a place, guess what's created a log? So this guy, I guess, wasn't going to his job for weeks, you know? And so he's now without work because the other tracking software caught up with him. Oh, okay. So I talked about that. Those of you watching, that article that I loaded in Firefox switched. It switched to that article. So it stayed on the Verizon one for a little bit. Then it flipped to that. Very, very annoying. Very, very annoying. Tech Dirt's got the inside skinny on a House internet censorship bill that's just like the Senate bill, except worse. And we may have to go to battle stations here. Siesta, S-E-S-T-A, and FOSTA, while on the surface, are designed to stop online sex traffickers. So it's basically a bill to stop enabling sex traffickers online and allowing states and victims to fight online sex traffickers. But there's so much information in this bill that is going to weaken people that host media, Facebook, YouTube. Under this new law, a site would be on the hook if a court simply found someone had used it for sex trafficking. So if somebody used your service and you didn't know about the content, the company still could be sued. And it also carves out an even bigger hole that it defines state law exemption, saying that any state criminal statute related to sex trafficking, you can sue the company that had the media on it, and along with a whole bunch of other stuff that would allow them to potentially go after other types of content. So there's hopefully they'll get this cleaned up. None of us want sex trafficking. That's absolutely just disgusting. But oftentimes these type of bills are used other ways. So hopefully they get the language real tight, but I don't know. It's just they try to do well, but if you read through this whole article, it really leaves internet service providers and companies like mine at deep risk. If someone's doing something you don't even know about it, you can still be taken down by the Justice Department. Hopefully that would not happen. Hopefully that would be, they would strictly go after sites set up to promulgate this type of stuff. And hopefully that would be the case. There's an article over in the Washington Post talking about the young man who shut down President Trump's Twitter account. And he apparently is regretting his role in the deactivation. He's been inundated by the press. He can't talk to his neighbors, his family. He's went back to Germany. He was some sort of a contract worker. And he doesn't say anything about being threatened or anything like that. But a little too much spotlight, he feels, because he did something a lot of people wanted to do, of course. And he said, it was not as a brave political statement, but the result of very little probabilities which randomly occurred on my last day of work. So it sounds like he's shucking and jiving a little bit here. He denied he took any actions for which he was not authorized or that were illegal. He said, I did not do any crime, but He's under a little pressure, it looks like. That's the way it kind of sounds in here. So all of us at some point in our lives will have a decision to make. And usually when you get to a certain age, you will have a do not resuscitate order that you'll have. Now, when my wife's mother was getting bad, she had basically signed a do not resuscitate order, which is really serious in Japan, where my father-in-law didn't, and they did every life-saving attempt to keep him alive for 9 months. But imagine they roll someone into an emergency room and they, cut his shirt away and they're getting ready to paddle him, and he's got tattooed on his chest, do not resuscitate, with his signature below the tattoo. Doctors were completely torn. They didn't know if this was the real deal. This is interesting. Okay, so I'll tell you guys at the end here. But anyway, let me show you this. I don't know if this is, I guess this is this guy's actual picture. So he had this tattooed right up, right in the neckline. And they didn't know what to do. He was in pretty bad shape. So they did minimal resuscitation until they could find out whether or not this guy actually had a paper version of that online, and he did. And the order was honored, and he passed away the next morning. But this guy was so serious about that he tattooed it to his chest. Now, this gentleman sadly had a history of chronic obstructive. He basically had heart disease. He had diabetes, diabetes mellitus. I don't know what that even is. He had arterial fibrillation, and he had a bunch of other stuff that was going on. So he knew he did not want to be resuscitated. So what a way to do that, right? Volvo is going to be coming with the SUV subscription plan. Yes, you don't buy the car. You don't really lease it. You just pay $600 per month. It is a two-year contract. So it's like a lease. It includes insurance, 24-hour customer service, factory scheduled maintenance, tire and wheel damage protection, and wear and tear replacement. Provide you drive fewer than 15,000 miles. Premium personal insurance provided by Liberty Mutual. And it's offering the XC40 for 2 years, between $400 and $700 per month. Cadillac has something similar, doesn't require annual contracts. You know, for companies and for realtors and people that need to have a new car for their business all the time, this makes a lot of sense. But you know, even my wife leased her Nissan Leaf. I was kind of against it, but that's what she wanted to do. So anyway, I have a link up in the show notes for those of you that want to check that out. Did you know Netflix has secret codes? These secret codes will kind of, you know, how they suggest movies to you? Well, you can kind of get around some of those suggestions and see the full list. So if you didn't know about this, I'll have the link up in the show notes. You can check out the secret codes you can use online to basically get access to the entire library. Also, ever wondered why audio sounds so horrible over a phone line? Well, there's a video around Ogizmo to explain it. Google is now facing a class action lawsuit for gathering personal data for millions of iPhone users. A group going by the name Google Yoas is taking Google to court in the UK, complaining the company harvested personal data from 5.4 million iPhone users. So we'll see what happens with this. But they say that Google is accused of breaking UK data protection laws. We'll see where this goes in the court process over there. Also, have you made your Christmas card yet? Or your holiday card? Well, you can use Microsoft Word to create holiday cards and other projects. So there's a good tutorial on this on how to do that. So if you want to print your own, you surely can. I've done that a number of years. And that way I'm not limited by what Costco or whatever does when they do one picture or whatever. So link will be up in the show notes on that too. Also over on Wired, Uber Waymo Richard Jacobs lawsuit. Well, the autonomous car company is in more trouble in this lawsuit they have with Google. Apparently, one of their investigators, one of Uber's investigators or intelligence collectors, sent a pretty incriminating document around, and it's making Google's case much, much, much easier. And basically talking about, you know, the activities that they undertook to collect information against Google. So, yeah, I have a feeling someone's going to pay big in this. Elon Musk is bidding to build Chicago travel pods. I don't know what the story with this is. Elon Musk tweeted that the Boring Company would submit a proposal for a high-speed loop in Chicago. He added the plan would involve electric pods traveling in underground tunnels. He said electric pods for sure, rails maybe, maybe not. So the Chicago government hopes a transit link can be built at no cost to taxpayers and says a successful builder could earn a lot of money from operating the service. So we'll see. Also, many of you that have iPhones, man, you've been downloading the Coinbase iOS app. That's like number one right now. Everyone's crazy about cryptocurrency right now. Also, you guys know I'm a big fan of the Dell XPS 13. Not such a good review coming out from The Verge on the latest version. So I'll have to get my hands on one and test it. But I've been a huge fan of that particular model line. I really, really like it a lot. Also, in the UK, they're using a drone to help, thread the needle for fiber. So basically, the drone is flying fish line to its next drop point, and then they're using, and they're using a Mavic to do it. Then they basically hook the other line of the, and this is making it much faster for them to run fiber across challenging terrain, includes woods, rivers, and steep hills. So that's pretty cool. They're trying to get things wired up in these communities, and doing the using the Mavic to pull a fish line makes a lot of sense. I'm surprised. I don't know how far they can go, but Mavic seems to be up to the challenge. Okay. Oh, what else do we have here? I'm getting down the end. Supermoon 2017. How to see a photograph of the majestic full cold moon this weekend. So if it's this with that one of those big low bright moons, so those are always awesome to take photography of. Your Google smart device, aka the Google Home device, can now support multiple commands at once. So they've got some instructions on how to issue multiple commands at once to it. Link will be up in the show notes on that. Also, Google may reunite itself with Nest as it tries to take on Amazon. The integration of Alphabet units would reverse an element of 2015 split as Google and Nest chase Amazon and Hope devices. You know, Amazon's like in like nuclear full blast mode to get, Amazon Alexa devices in the homes. They're pushing hard, hard, hard. Amazon does commit another $100 million to the Alexa fund for international expansion. And this is basically helping, you know, companies build apps and services around the device. So they're all in on this thing. Also, those of you that have a Mac, you probably saw a security announcement, a patch that was pushed to you today. There was a lot of you folks that weren't very happy when it was revealed that an update included a bug that made it pretty easy for anyone to gain admin rights to your Mac, which was obviously a concern. We had gotten some tweets on that from some fans of the show. And but a number of folks are having trouble getting access to their files. If that's you, I've got the solution to being able to get access to your files if you've been locked out of them after getting this security patch. Let's see here. Another Amazon Echo. There's a whole bunch of Amazon stuff in the news. I'll skip that. All right. That's already been talked about. The FDA's cleared the first EKG band for the Apple Watch. Wow. A LiveCore's CardioBand, a device worn that detects dangerous heart rhythms, has been the first Apple Watch accessory cleared for medical use by the FDA. It can capture EKG in 30 seconds and detect problems like atrial fibrillation, a type of heart arrhythmia. In addition, the company launched a new version of the band today in the U.S. with a feature called Smart Rhythm that uses Apple's built-in heart rate sensor and AI algorithms to warn you if your heart rate is elevated when you're not exercising or doing strenuous activities. The Apple Watch will do that too. It'll warn you. I've had that happen before. I was sitting too long and it just said, hey, you need to get up. Those of you that are Super Mario fans, the Super Mario Star Christmas Tree Topper will go great with all your Nintendo themed presents. Available for $50, okay? I still haven't got that Super NES yet. I've had a couple of people send me links to stuff that's out there, but gosh, it's just really, really aggravating. Some deals, Jim, it's a smart decanter that can pour you a drink and it makes snarky remarks. It's the Jim Beam. It's a holiday type of device, $35. But anyway, it's a nice way to display Jim Beam and have it talk to you when you pour a drink. All right. All kinds of cool Christmas stuff. You can get an Apple TV for $84.55. That's the lowest price for a fourth gen 32 gig model. And it's also got some prices for the Sonos One as well. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to check out. So everyone keep an eye out for these deals I'm providing you. And finally, adults that listen to the show, do you like a Long Island iced tea? Well, Applebee's is a serving $1 Long Island iced teas all December. Now, we've got a new Applebee's here in Hawaii. I haven't been to it yet, but $1 for a Long Island iced tea? Sign me up. Sign me up. All right. We're way long here tonight. I know I have a couple of emails to go into. Let me get those bounced out here. And, oh, that's not supposed to be in that folder. That's supposed to be over here. Okay. I got an email. Oh, hey, Jerry. Todd, just a quick question. Did something change about sending out show notes? Yes. Todd screwed up. Todd was not sending out the show notes. That's what happened. So my apologies for not getting the show notes out via email. Bad guest host. That will be resolved tonight. So you'll have that in your inbox. Got an email from Jack. It says, hey, Todd, Microsoft, Google, and Amazon all have voice services. And they each sell a device or app that use a trigger word. Amazon Echo even has 4 trigger words you can select. I don't understand your issue with always wanting to refer to Amazon voice services by one of its trigger words. You cannot buy Amazon voice services, nor the trigger word. No. You cannot buy an Amazon Echo Dot or Show that use Amazon to a large variety of trigger words. In the future, I suggest you say Amazon Echo instead of Amazon voice service trigger word. Everyone would know what you're talking about with interrupting and turning off your podcast to those listeners. Just using Amazon Echo to listen to your content. Just a thought. P.S. Notice I didn't use a trigger word in this email. I bet you still understood what I meant. You're right. But we like talking to them now. See, we're already being this assisted intelligence. We've already been trained, Jack. That's what's going on. We're referring to these inanimate devices by the name. All right. Everyone, thanks for being here. We're going to bounce out. And for those of you that were watching the show, thank you so very much. And I appreciate you hanging out with me. Definitely long on the show today. We'll be back with you on Monday for another scheduled show. Just as a programming note, I am going to PodCon in Seattle. So I will not be doing a show on December 11th. I get back from Seattle on December 11th. But if you're in the Seattle area, the 9th or the 10th, I fly in Saturday morning. I'm there the 9th and the 10th, and I fly out early on the 11th. So if you're in the Seattle area and want to hook up, there probably will be some evening time for drinks, but I'm going to PodCon event in Seattle to talk to podcasters and podcast fans, an event there that's being put on over that weekend. But other than that, we're steady streaming all the way through to the end of the year. But that's it. Let me get out of here. Everyone, we'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast. Definitely drop me an email, geeknews@gmail.com. Don't forget to support our sponsors at GoDaddy.com via geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And if you really want to help the show, become a monthly insider supporter by going to geeknewscentral.com/insider. Everyone take care. We'll see you next time here on the Geek News Central podcast.